Welcome to Basic Gospel. We are here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, gang, I am so excited about today. We have a special guest with us, John Lynch. John is a just fabulous communicator, a wonderful writer. I've had the opportunity to meet John just here recently. We've had numerous phone conversations, and I tell you, it's hard for us to hang up. I just feel like I've met a kindred spirit, John, and we're so excited to have you on today's Basic Gospel broadcast. Welcome, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Bob. I'm like a little kid, man, to be on a show where I know it's a kindred spirit, and you guys, the message you're given is kindred to us. It's just too much fun. So I've been pretty excited about this.
Well, me too. And our ministry name is Basic Gospel. The radio broadcast is Basic Gospel. And you have a phrase, your team has a phrase, the original good news.
That's right.
And
that's
we need right. to get back to that, don't we?
Yeah, we would say, and you would say, the original good news has fallen upon hard times. That it was the only message coming from the church at one point, but it's gotten covered up and covered over with moralistic and shame teaching and our own shame. And it's so awesomely wonderful to find people like yourselves and others who are saying, it's time now. It's time for the original good news to be taught again. This is not some new fad. This is not something we're trying to get away with. This is how Christ wants us to see life. And so it is astounding when I get to run into or get to talk to a group. And 30 years ago, we wouldn't have found each other, but we're finding each other now. And so the original good news is starting to become no longer the minority report.
Well, I think you're exactly right, John. And I think, at some point along this journey, if you've given in to kind of the rules and the regulations and the moralistic approach or the behavioral approach, you just come to the end and say, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And you have to ask questions, well, what does work? What is real? What is true? And yeah. I think more and more people are kind of coming to that point of asking those questions.
It's amazing. A lot of us will say, well, gosh, I got taught this in church. Here I was, a burned out jock baseball player whose homecoming queen left him, and he was a burned out, drugged out guy who at age 27 came to the freedom of the gospel. And within a year, I had added the moralistic filter. I had added the rules and the law to somehow try to assuage my shame to make God happy with me again. So it's interesting. There's something even there in me that wanted me to think that way. So it took a community, and it took a lot of friends along this journey to find me back to what I knew at the beginning.
Yeah. I think we're all natural-born legalists.
And,
I've said this before, if somebody finds themselves just, on an island, just a deserted island, and they haven't had any teaching, nothing religious has been inputted into their lives, and they're just sitting there, and they know God exists, and pretty soon they're looking inward and they're feeling shame and guilt and all of this, and how can I assuage that? And before you know it, you've got a new religion.
That's
just
right.
You've created your own religion. You That's circle right. that coconut tree three times just in hopes of making God like you.
That's right. I remember 9 months in saying, God, just tell me what you want me to do. I'll do it. How many lawns do you want me to mow? and it took a long time for me to be able to hear Christ's heart and voice to say, kid, I just want you to know me, and I want to know you. It's not much more complicated than this. I'll mature you from the inside out, but right now you're right on time. And stop beating yourself up that there's something wrong. I paid way too much for us to be in that kind of relationship.
Indeed, indeed. Well, you're listening to Basic Gospel. Our special guest today is John Lynch. He is with the True Faced organization. He has partnered with a couple other guys. They've written numerous books. He has a new book out, On My Worst Day. We're going to be talking about that during this broadcast. It is available through our website, basicgospel.net. John, you sent me this book just a couple of days ago, and I've had a hard time putting it down. I've dog-eared page after page after page. And, you know, to our listeners, if you're looking for a wonderful read, something that will, I think, John, as you put it, drench you in hope. Yeah. and give you just a sense of what the true gospel, this original good news, is all about, this is a book, this is a must-read. You need to get it. And it's available on our website today. Just go to basicgospel.net, and it's right on the homepage. Just click that link, and all the information will be right there. Again, the title of the book is On My Worst Day. And, John, tell us a little bit about that title. How did you come to that title? How did you come to write this book?
Yeah, thanks. The title has come from a statement that I've made since I've learned my identity in Christ, and that is, on my day, I'm Christ and John Lynch, Galatians 2:20. On my worst day, I'm Christ, and I always say it with an Irish or a Scottish accent, I'm Christ and John Lynch. And so when it came time to write this book, one of my best friends said, well, I know what the title is. I'm not sure what's going to be in it, but I know what the title is. And it really, one of the great tests in my own life of do I understand who I am in Christ is to see how able I am to be vulnerable with my story. Not to everybody, but with some, to stay out of hiddenness. And so I wanted this to be a vulnerable book so we could all find our stories within it. That was huge to me. And I also wanted to show the voice of Christ without the moralistic or the shame filter. And I want to imagine, what was he saying to me, even though he knew I couldn't hear him? What was he saying to me long before I knew him? And so almost each installment that I write, it's kind of a chronological book, has his response into it. And that's what I'm hoping, that resonates strongly to us and says, oh my gosh, that is how you are with me, Jesus. I always say, once Jesus said this, it changed everything. He said, to the exact extent that my Father loves me, and I'm thinking that's some pretty significant love, to the exact extent that my Father loves me, so also I love you. That's crazy talk. That's crazy talk, and yet he said it, and it can't be modified. Once he said that, you can't bring me any other verses that modify that. And so I, taking that lead, I just said, okay, what would that look like for him to speak into my heart on my worst day and on some of my best days, too?
Yeah. Well, you start the book in 1964. You're at a ball field. You've just hit a triple and scored the go-ahead run, and the game ends, and you're left kind of by yourself, and you're just sitting there thinking. What went on in your mind that particular day, and what was that all about, and why did you start the book with that story?
Well, I wanted to show the honesty of an 11-year-old kid for the first time interacting with God. Several nights before, I was walking home, and someone was following me. And I was a few blocks from home, and I thought, should I start running and get to home before this guy gets me, or should I just go into a neighbor's house and run in? And at that moment, I said, help. I called out help. And so on that day, I started talking to God on that day, waiting for my mom to show up after the ball game, and I said, hey, wait, I just wanted to say, God, I'm on to you. I know that you're real. And I don't know who or what you're exactly like, but I know that I called to you. That was you, wasn't it, that I called to? And I go on this journey. I said, I look at the statues and pictures of you, and you look terrible. But so that can't be you, right? And church people, what are they about? But I want you to know that those 2 minutes after I called out, I want that for the rest of my life. And then my mom honked the horn and picked me up. And that was the last time for 20 years I really thought about him much.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. But it was that start. It was that moment that God put in my heart way back at the age 11 that I wouldn't really respond till I was almost 28 years old.
But you knew something was real in that moment.
Absolutely.
That it wasn't just a figment of your imagination.
Absolutely.
Or was it just something you made up? It was something real, tangible.
Absolutely. And a little boy knew it. And I knew there's no nonsense in a little boy talking to God. So it was that moment that God said, I know it's going to take a while. I know, kid, and I know you're going to go a lot of strange places, but I got you. And when you show up, and we show up together, you'll be right on time.
Yeah, that's sat back because I was a big baseball player, and I love I loved baseball, and I loved being at the fields and playing the games and then just hanging out. And you do. You just, in those moments, you're just real. You're transparent, and you think things that you may never think any other place. So I just really love that story. But, you know, that same year, 1964, something else happened. You know, you were with a friend, and, you know, there was, you know, orange trees all around.
Yeah.
And trains that would carry these oranges off. And,
yeah.
You found yourself in a very precarious situation, didn't you?
Yeah, Bob, I was just a jock kid. I was just this baseball, basketball, track, any gym that was open, I was there. And there was this tough kid, Donald Emmons, who went to our school, and he had two older brothers that were in prison for all we knew. And he'd already beaten up three kids in elementary school, and it wasn't even October. And he kind of liked me because I was funny. And he'd give me a pass. He never beat me up. But one day he said, I want you to meet me at the railroad tracks and on Saturday morning. And I just said, okay. And we went down to where the boxcars were that were filled with oranges that would leave on Monday morning to places like Billings and Omaha. But these train cars were just filled with oranges. Thousands of oranges, and we would just lay in there and eat oranges every day after school. After we played ball, we'd just go over there. Well, on this Saturday, there was nobody else there. And Donald Emmons, first of all, I got in, and I'd been in there 100 times before. And then Donald got in and blocked the entrance. And he told me that day what I would do to him and what he would do to me, things I'd never even thought of before or imagined. And this innocent kid in that boxcar got violated that day. And from that moment on, even though I will continue on and girlfriend will like me and I'll play on the all-star team for the Upland Lions, I'll walk with a limp with this statement that says, no one must know. No one must ever know what just happened. And no, my parents can't handle me. Nobody can handle me. I will keep this a secret for the rest of my life. And so I walked on, always carrying this thing of something's indelibly wrong with me, and it will always be uniquely wrong with me. And nobody can know, and it will never change. And I'll just have to cover up everywhere I am. And I, honestly, we wrote the book True Faced, and I still had not ever told anyone. I'm in my 50s, and I was so ashamed if anyone would ever know. Now I tell it, I put it in the book, I tell it at the drop of a hat. But it took a long time for me to believe that, one, God was with me that day, and he was covering me in the arena when I couldn't stand, and that he would protect me, and he would give dignity to my story, and he would protect my life, and he would give me a wife and children beyond any measure, and give me a life worth living. I couldn't see it then. It was actually one of the things that drove me to him, that drew me to him. because I needed to know that someone knew and someone saw. So that has shaped my life in many ways. But now it's one of those things that drew me near to him, independence, all these years. So it's one of those places where I can identify. That was one of my very worst days. Maybe my worst day.
Maybe the worst day.
Yeah.
And something like that, I mean, it's such a traumatic event, and you don't know how to process it, and you don't know, you know, should you say anything to anybody. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you just bury it, and you live, right. You limp through life with this guilt and shame. But in many ways, that becomes the definition of who you are.
That's right.
You define yourself by that very moment.
And so we always say, what if there was a place, sometimes that's just one other person, what if there was a place so safe that the worst of me could be told and known, and I would discover that I would be loved more in the telling of it, not less? And the answer is, those hidden, unresolved issues begin to be healed just by not having to hide it anymore, and God weaving through my relationship with you where there's a safe place to tell it. And once I started telling it, people that I love so much were saying, do you know how long we've waited, John? We knew something was wrong. We just didn't know what. And now you're letting us in, and we get to love you. And I've now known relationships deeper and stronger and more beautiful than before when I was trying to bluff like I was somebody worth loving.
Well, I think I know I've talked to numerous people who have been in that same situation, and you know, I've had stories like that. You know, I as a seventh grader, I got into a shoplifting ring, and you know, was pretty good at stealing things from.
Were we together?
We may have been together.
I just don't remember your name. Yeah, that's very familiar. The way you're describing.
And then David, my friend, just tells on us, and you know, he couldn't hold it in any longer, and boy, just the guilt and shame I felt from that whole experience, and. You know, wondering, you know, is this going to define me the rest of my life? Is this who I really am? And boy, that just builds those walls of insecurity.
Yeah.
And you just don't know how to handle it.
Well, and we spend our time trying to prove to others what we're not convinced of.
Absolutely.
That I'm worth loving. And so we keep putting on this facade. And I always say, when we wear a mask, any kind of a mask, only my mask gets loved. I never get loved.
Yeah.
So if I'm wearing a mask, you may admire me or respect me or whatever, but you can never give me love that I can receive as long as I'm wearing the mask. And I'm wearing the mask so that you'll love me. That's the cruel, pitiful part of trying to pretend that I'm someone other than who Christ declares me to be, or that I'm someone more. Yeah.
Folks, if you're listening, mark that. You know, in your memory, if you're wearing a mask, you will never be able to receive true, genuine love.
That's
people
right.
will love the mask, but not you. And
that's right.
And that's where so many people miss the reality of this gospel message, because they know God's loving the mask. He couldn't possibly love what's underneath it.
That's right. And to realize that he says, John, and this is true for every single one of the people listening right now, I've gone ahead and I've seen everything. I've seen everything you are ever going to do. I've seen everything you've done. I've seen what you're doing now. I've seen the crazy patterns and all those things. And I declare this statement again, to the exact extent that the Father loves me, so also I love you. Without any conditions of if or when or because, but somehow, God said, I will place my love upon John Lynch. And I wanted him to be on this planet at this time with all of his, even insecurities, with all of his issues, his weakness, his lack of capacity, his strengths, his personality. I wanted this exact person in this community for this time. And he's right on time, and I've got him. And for me to dare believe that I am Christ in me, that I'm fused with Jesus Christ, that it's not, I'm not a saved sinner who's, and God's out there on the other side of my sin, but instead, he and I are fused together, and he cannot even anymore define himself without me. And I can no longer define myself without him. We are fused together. It's Christ in me. That is stunning. You go, well, I may question your taste in picking me, but when I understand it, it first drops me to the ground and then frees me. I no longer have to pretend or perform or play act. I'm enough.
You can be a genuine human being.
Absolutely.
Exactly what God created you to be.
And then he's maturing me from the inside out without stress or strain. I'm not pretending to work on my sin issues and get them one at a time. He's, from the inside out, weaving this man into maturity who is already changed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name's Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. Our special guest today is John Lynch. He's the author of a wonderful book, On My Worst Day. It's available through Basic Gospel. I urge you to get a copy of this. I think this is a wonderful read. You will laugh with John, you'll cry with John, but more than anything, you'll walk away knowing more of God's love for you. And that's significant. If we can just come to the point and really know that God loves us, life just falls into place for us.
Absolutely.
And this book will help carry you to that point. So order it. We want you to have it. It's available on our website at basicgospel.net. So take advantage of this offer. Again, it's on our website, basicgospel.net, or you can call our toll-free order line, 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828, and just say you want a copy of On My Worst Day by John Lynch.
And I'll walk it to their house. That's what I'll do. I will actually, if they order before December when it gets really cold, I will walk it to their home.
Walk it to their very house. Well, John, there's, like I said, I've just dog-eared this book from cover to cover, and you know we've got about a minute left on this broadcast. I want to go to 1965. So we started in 64. We've just journeyed a long way.
Yeah.
But there's one thing here that you say, we're all fighting our own story of insecurity.
Yeah.
And then you conclude with this, and insecurity is not solved by achievement. How do we cross over from that life of insecurity to one that's stable and sure?
I must first start with realizing no achievement will ever be enough. I'll always crave more, and it'll leave me desperate and unhappy. It never can be enough. Christ says, John, I know who you are. Relax in it. Settle in it. It's more beautiful than you can imagine by anything you can achieve. And I've got hundreds and hundreds of people who need to be loved by you. It's a life worth living.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know Tom Brady was interviewed after his third Super Bowl win, and he had the three rings, and he says, I have those, but it's not enough. There's still something more that I need. And I think that's just a perfect example of what you're talking about here as far as insecurity not being solved by achievement. That only comes through faith in Jesus Christ and learning who you are in him. Well, John, we're out of time on this particular broadcast. Thank you so much for being with us today. For those of you who are tuned in, we'll have more with John in just a few minutes as we start our second program. I'd say stay tuned in. You'll hear more fascinating stuff from John about truth, life, all of the wonderful things that we can know and truly experience in Christ Jesus. I certainly encourage you to buy a copy of his book, On My Worst Day. It is just a wonderful, wonderful read. It's available at our website, basicgospel.net, also by calling 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Well, John, again, thank you so much for being a part of today's broadcast. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We'll look forward to being with you again at the same time tomorrow on Basic Gospel.